when she's been, and
like a BB moment, which is like a beautiful black moment. Did we get any of those in this episode?
Black.
We have a chaotic bi moment of the
chaotic bi moment. And you're watching Black Bi Reality.
Black Bi Daddy.
And those who love us.
Hello, you are watching and are listening to the Black Bi Reality Podcast, a podcast for Black Bi baddies and those who love us. And today we're talking about Survivor 47, Episode 12. And I am joined with Kendra McQuarrie of Survivor 45. Hello.
Hey, Nicole.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, baddies.
Yes. We are both Libras. I remember that distinctly from our season. So this is going to be an airy podcast.
Oh, we're going to be chatting.
Chatting. What have you thought? I know you've been making the rounds on podcasts, so hopefully other people have listened to your other appearances. But what have been your thoughts of this season?
So I've had like a weird relationship with this season because I've been traveling a bit. I was on it in the beginning. And then I took a couple weeks off of watching, and then I just watched all of them in one night. And so I had to do like a bit of a catch up. So I feel like I haven't been in the flow as much, but I am loving this season. I think the gameplay is really what's being highlighted here. I will say it took me, like, I feel like I get attached to people really easily. It's been hard for me to get attached to some people on this season. And I think that's maybe because of like, gameplay is being so highlighted, and we're really only getting to know people through their ideas in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless, like, I mean, pre-merge was crazy.
Yes, it was fun.
One of my favorite pre-merges. So
yeah,
that was a great way to start the season. And not that it's like slid off or anything. I just feel like maybe like lacking some character moments, but it's making up for it in the gameplay, which everyone's been like, "Where's the gameplay in the new era?" It's like, hello.
Hello.
And especially after last night. So that's my take.
Full of gamers. I think that's a perfect take. I'm really enjoying the season as well with all the gameplay, but then it's very it's tense. This episode, everyone's on pins and needles.
I told you, I was yelling at, and I say my TV, I was yelling at my tablet.
Yeah, it's tense.
Yelling last night, it was crazy. I like, it's so weird because I feel like I have been switching who I'm rooting for every episode.
That's
like,
good.
Like power. Yeah, it's great. I love it. This is how I like to watch Survivor. And so last night I was like, I am rooting for Sam so hard to win this reward challenge. And then he did. I was like, let's go. I'm like, I've been, like, maybe since the beginning, like, been like, let's go, Sam.
I know.
In a way, but just like in a way of like, I don't know. It's been really changing for me. So it was so fun to be Team Sam last night and that reward challenge like play out. So sad. Hi, Kyle. I love Kyle. I'm such a Kyle fan.
Yeah. Okay. I agree. I liked Sam more in this episode, and like I think this whole season, like, Sam and Andy have been each other's foil. They have turned the tables. And I think I like Sam more in this episode because he's accepted it. He's finally like, me and Andy are on equal footing. If not, I'm kind of lower to him. I'm grateful for him. And I'm like, I think that's all I needed. I think that's all I needed from Sam for a while now.
Same. I forgot about that. It was like when he was like, I could tell it was like really like person to person, I owe you and I'm sorry. And like, sure, part of that we could say is gameplay, but like for me, I feel like it was from an actual genuine point. And then having, you know, who knows what Genevieve's motives are, but like, I feel like a part of her was really like reeling in, and seeing that whole thing last night was incredible of her just, while she's remaining unattached, realizing that the way for her to move forward is actually like creating relationships, not blocking out. It was just such a beautiful character moment. And I feel like she's grown as a really complex character in the season and in the new era in general.
Yeah, for sure. Let's get to the start of this though, because we just got rid of Kyle. Sue, happy as a clam. Finally. And
happier than a pig in mud.
Yes. And apparently she has been in pig in mud, because one of the reasons I think that the editors were trying to give for all the dirt that's been on Sue's face for the past 3 weeks now, is that she has been digging around for an idol. First of all, she is going underneath, like, that cave. I don't know what you call that. Like, rock. I don't think, has an idol ever been under there?
The pee cave.
Yes. The pee cave.
That's where people pee.
Look.
Oh, like Tyson tweeted that. I was like, I've peed there. Literally.
Yeah.
So no, I don't, but like, honestly, that far, I'm looking anywhere. Whatever. I'll roll under whatever. I feel like I would be matching Sue's energy.
That's
like,
fair.
Filthy. It's fine. Like, yeah. I think she's just gonna, that, if that's what she wants her Survivor vibe to be, easy breezy, beautiful Survivor girl. No one's gonna fuck Sue.
No. And Caroline, to be fair, she has talked about it. She was confronted by Mike Bloom. Why aren't you telling this woman about the dirt on her face? She said, no. It is soot. She has been tending that fire. I have told her. At some point, it gets caked on. That's what it is. And I'm like, so note to future castaways, if you get the soot, if you're doing all of the fire tending, just take some sand. I think we can exfoliate out there.
For sure. It's crazy because Julie, shout out to Julie, Mama J, mm-hmm. She tended the fire every night. The woman, flawless. Not as much, so I don't know. I don't know what's happening. I don't know. But I love that it's become like this whole subplot on Twitter of Survivor 47 is like, what's going on? And that we finally got to get some answers. The answers were like, we tried.
Yeah, definitely. Now, on the other end, Teenie versus Genevieve. This has been going on for quite some time. This is like the other foil. If we got Andy and Sam, it's Teenie and Genevieve. So at this point, Genevieve knows that she has to humble herself and start apologizing. First, she is apologizing to Teenie, of course. And then Genevieve makes another misstep. Later on, she apologized to Andy for the same thing, but then she does it to Teenie of saying, so I think Rachel is definitely going to win if we get to the end. And Teenie's like, so you're going to vote for Rachel over me? They started on Lavo together. Teenie's like, you have been seeing me since day one, and you want to talk to me about some Rachel? And Genevieve was like, yeah, maybe. And Teenie says this is a threat. Do you think it was a threat?
I mean, I feel like in that moment, like, I think Genevieve is just trying to be authentic, but it's not in the right room. She's, like, not reading the room. Clearly, you know, Teenie is, like, an emotional spot and, like, wants to be respected and, like, has been on the butt of your blind side. Mm-hmm. So, like, the last thing to do is, like, bring up I know you want to paint Rachel as a threat because she is. But, like, maybe just, like, lie a little bit. It's like, you know, I feel like she's, like, pulling way too much this way after going too much this way and trying to be, like, authentic and real. And then it bites her in the ass. And Teenie was not having it. And I think that you can see that Andy and Teenie are feeling, and even Sue and Caroline were, like, we're not being taken seriously in this game.
Mm-hmm.
People are getting upset over it, and that's valid and super real. And so I think it was like this is where I want to go with this relationship, but not reading the room completely. And so yeah.
Do you remember what Genevieve's sign is?
Oh, she's a Gemini.
Really? This is interesting.
Literally separate herself.
Yeah.
Like, her lack, like, her emotional detachment. I'm like, air sign, like, mm-hmm. Here we are. And like, I believe I really am looking forward to going back on our tarot poll that I did for this season, because Genevieve, like, she had a lot of cards come up over, and like, they're calling her like the Terminator and the Ice Queen. It's like, and then we see this whole other side of Genevieve, like, literally two sides.
Mm-hmm.
Such a Gemini moment. But it's funny because Teenie's a Virgo, Genevieve is a Gemini. They're both mercurial ruled signs, but they square in the way that they astrology. And so the way they communicate is brings up tension, and there's like really a lot to be explored there and a lot of transformation that can happen if both parties are willing. Yeah. But I think we're a little deep in the game for Teeny to let up the gas about Genevieve and for Genevieve to find the right footing as far as like her relationship with Teeny goes moving forward.
Yeah, this whole situation, like Genevieve was already on thin ice with Teeny, and I think she knows that, and yet she doesn't do any of the warm, cuddly stuff. Teeny just wants
that. She wants a hug.
Exactly.
And a friend, like a real friend.
Yes. It does hurt me a little every time Genevieve's like, I don't have a single friend. I was like, what is Teeny? Why are we spending so much time talking to Teeny, saying, oh, one day you're also going to have to do this to me? And it's like, you can't even say you see like some semblance of friendship, even if it's a complicated one.
Oh, man. I'm like, it must be really hard. Like, I don't know how hard it is for, maybe they've talked after it or whatever, but having Teeny watch her say that and seeing Genevieve as a friend, even through like the backstabbing, is probably so hard. And for her to, oh man,
yeah.
Oh, it's so messy.
So messy, and I'm sorry, but this is like literally a bisexual podcast. I can't help but read into like the queerness. Like, we know Genevieve's married yeah. off and everything, but the deepness of this whole situation has been
weapons.
Yes, it has been a lot for me to watch, and just hearts out. So after this, we get Teeny running back to Rachel and Andy that Genevieve is basically targeting Rachel. So there's that. We have a reward, okay? And this reward, we are playing for Italian food and margaritas. Very interesting mix.
Yeah. Like,
he did said red wine. So
he did say red wine. Margaritas, like, you really could have just done, like, a Bellini.
Ooh.
Like, if we want to go, like, Italian, like, like, whatever you find at Olive Garden, really.
They just spent a lot of budget on the margarita. The margarita's probably very cheap and affordable. But
the sour mix, like, pre-mixed Jose Cuervo sour mix.
Yeah.
We know what it is, yeah.
So, the castaways, they must free this ball from Annette, go through an obstacle course. It's a lot of balancing. Jeff kept talking about touches. I was like, I don't like that. Jeff, don't.
Yeah, Jeff has a special touch. I'm like, it's day 22 out there. I'm sure they're thinking about some special touches, all right. Bring it up in front of everyone.
That's why there's so much tension. There hasn't been enough touching.
Hornier and hornier. I'm like, what's going on here?
I'm all talking.
I see that 30 last night. I'm like, special touch. I'm like,
crazy. And then they also find out last minute they're getting letters from home, and I think everyone looks so emotional. Genevieve especially. Sue also. They really, really wanted this. And
I feel like they should stop saying and then surprise people there and leave it up to Jeff should stop saying there's gonna be letters from home.
No. He'll never
Nick. And then get surprised there, and then it's up to them to tell whether I know he won't, because it causes drama in the moment.
He
loves
the drama.
I know. It's his moment.
He wants to dangle your loved ones right in front of you and then rip them away.
The reaction was crazy.
It was. It made it so much.
Everyone's like, yes, we know you can only pick two people, but if it's not
me. Teeny goes off. We'll talk about this.
Okay.
So, at the end, basically, Sam and Genevieve are really going for it, but then Teeny slips there in the third, and Sam still ends up winning. So it's like, yeah, who are you going to pick?
My heart was racing.
Oh, it was a lot. So, Sam said this is a difficult choice to stomach. He's not looking thrilled about this, but he said there's one person he promised to take on the reward, and it was Andy. Now, Andy did some good acting because he's like, who, me? I'm the belle of the ball. And I forgot he kind of needs to play that up because technically Andy is supposed to be in this 5-person alliance. So why would Sam pick him? And it's like, guys, are we really going to forget how much time Andy and Sam have been in
together.
It?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I do, like, I do think he was, like, playing it up, but I do think there's, like, a part of Andy that was, like, a little surprised because it's just, like, his trust with Sam is pretty broken at that point, and it's like, why would he include me now? It's like...
But it's also like, who else would he have? You know, we got Sue, Caroline.
In other people's minds, they're like, it's stupid for them to bring him to bring anyone other than one of us five. He's not even going to try to sway us. It's like, you've made it apparently clear that you guys aren't swayable and you guys are a solid five. Why would he pick y'all? Honestly, if it was me, I would have done the same thing. And I would have went with people who, one, I probably owed, like, same thing with Andy. And then I would have went with somebody who, like, is my only freaking pal in this game right now. And whether we're sitting on our island alone eating Italian, I'd just rather have fun than try to, like, don't follow me out with your fun. Like, no.
Yeah.
No.
I will say, I mean, he just had a reward with Rachel. He's not still trying to make Rachel work. Mm-hmm. I guess he's outwardly just saying now, like, I'm down for Rachel. So he burned that other option, I guess. But we could have caused more infighting over there. So, and then the next person is that he picks Genevieve. The three apologize to all of the others, and that leaves the rest. Basically, everyone here except for Andy with Jeff. And Jeff is like, ooh, Teeny, you are looking like you got something to say. So go off, Teeny. Oh, my God.
She was, like, ready to let loose. I love a I'm pissed moment. I love a let me gather myself for a minute before I say anything I'm going to regret.
Mm-hmm.
5-minute monologue.
Yeah.
I love the raw emotion in Survivor. Like,
yes.
The way, and like me watching it, I'm like, oh my, I was like, oh my God, these reactions are crazy. But then knowing for the absolute facts that if I was there and like knowing that those letters were there and Italian food, I would have had an emotional breakdown.
Yeah, I think it's fair.
It's hard, but like, I guess where it's coming from is like, or like the judgment on Teeny is like, you're expecting Sam to bring you? Like, what have you been just like, where is this coming from? And obviously there's so much we don't see on the show, but I think all feel like, I love it being messy. I love the raw emotions. And like, I think Teeny is at this like, point in their game where everything is just like has been building for the past couple weeks, and it's like, oh, this is the cherry on top of me like being left out of this or this, of me like trying to like salvage what I have left in this game to try to like make something happen. And I think it's day 21. Of course emotions are high, and of course like the letters from home, I mean, that's just always a recipe for disaster, and it really creates a lot of good, but also a lot of drama, which,
yeah.
She wants Sam's head on a silver platter now.
Absolutely, absolutely.
You don't care about Genevieve anymore. You're like, Sam.
Yep. Do people who go to Ponderosa, do they get letters?
We got our letters. At like, I think it was like one of the last days, and like we got like, because we write letters to ourselves too.
Oh.
And then we got our family letters as well, and I was unwell. It's actually, I'm like, thank God I didn't get this on the show. I would have absolutely lost my shit.
Mm.
So I'm like, the world doesn't need to see me cry that much.
Yeah.
Honestly. So we're good.
Oh, we got some. We got some crying photos to get to.
Oh, I love it. Okay.
Yeah.
I want to see Genevieve cry in like a sweet way, but like
right.
That sweet Genevieve that we know is inside there somewhere.
For sure. All right.
Jolly good time. Look at that.
Yes. So we have a picture here of Andy, Sam, and Genevieve eating their Italian food at the sanctuary. Sam tells Andy that he has so much respect for Andy keeping a smile on his face during the rough times in the game. He also says in his confessional that he does feel like he owes Andy. And I wrote, I think picking Andy for this has to be like the best move for Sam's game.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. I was like, he has to choose Andy because Andy's the only one who's going to flip, potentially flip there. And also, just like by chance, if you make it further and like Andy ends up on the jury, he's going to remember.
Yeah.
Like the loved ones, as high as the stakes are to get people mad at you, like you really have a bonding experience with people out there. And I think game-wise, strategy-wise, just like person-to-person-wise, like jury management-wise, this is the absolute best choice for Sam in that situation. And like, I can only like help but to think, but like when Sam was saying to Andy, oh, like he goes, she's been smiling, and Andy's just like, this is just my facade. Like, I am the smiling assassin. I'm going to take you out. But, like, I'll let you think I'm just, like, having a good time. Like, I love that dynamic that Andy's been showing us the past couple weeks.
Great this season. Now, Genevieve says at the same time that she is realizing having emotional connections makes it harder for other people to vote her out. Yes, having connections makes it harder to vote other people, but same coin. And I'm like, Genevieve, this can't be the first time that you thought of this.
I think she committed to the bit so hard. Like, as she said after Kishan, like, maybe it's not the first time she's thinking of it, but maybe the first time she's embodying it.
Yeah.
Like, really, like, feeling the repercussions. But, like, because you can mentally be like, yes, this and this, but, like, to feel the repercussions of it and, like, especially seemingly to, like, have a friendship with Sam. Also, how are you going to say you don't have any friends? You clearly are friends with Sam.
I don't know. This is a matter of convenience. I think Genevieve knows that this is all a matter of convenience.
I think so too. I'm like, I want them to be friends so bad.
I wonder if she just has a different, like, perspective on friendship of what's considered friends. It's like, she's at work right now.
She's clocked in.
Yeah.
Clocked in. She's at work. 100%.
So here's Sam in the hammock reading his letter. He says that his brother told him that he's proud of him. Genevieve, she is also pretty emotional. She got some notes from her husband and another loved one. But something that sticks out to her is that her father wrote, he's sure she has many friends. And she says, I don't have any. And that's on me. Genevieve, what?
Genevieve.
What is going on?
It's like, I watched that and I was just so, I like had to take like a deep breath for her.
Mm-hmm.
Just having this like in the moment, like straight reflection of like Genevieve outside of the game, which is what she's been talking about, and Genevieve in the game, like this, these two people that she, such a Gemini.
Yeah.
Like two parts of herself that she's like balancing, and then for her dad to be like, this is the part of you that we all know and see, and then to go out there and be like, this, who is she? She does not exist anymore. Like, I don't know her. And to have that moment of being like, I don't have any friends out here. Like, I think, I mean, for me, it was just, I feel like the opposite of that. I felt like I had a lot of friends, but maybe not a lot of allies. Which
Libra,
is very,
we're like, making our connections.
Yeah, but like I couldn't imagine having that. Oh my gosh, it would be really sad to realize that in a game.
It would be. And then we have Andy. Andy is boohooing. So apparently Andy's mom is a super fan of Survivor. He said this is the proudest she's ever been. Imagine being Andy's mom.
No, she's probably freaking out.
What do you mean she's a super fan? And you have had a She's All That journey. Day one, you had a freak out and you got out John Levitt.
Wall of Andy. Like, the mantle at the house is just Andy now.
I hope he doesn't have a sibling.
Decorations, Andy. Christmas card, just Andy.
I hope he does not have a single sibling. Like, that's devastating.
Like, really? The victims here are Andy's siblings.
That, or you have to get those siblings on. You have to make this right.
Big bear. Like, if they ever felt like they had to live up to something now, like, Andy's like, well, I am mom's favorite literally forever now. I'm at the sanctuary reading the letters you wrote me, so...
Yes. Oh, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Imagine that pressure, though.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of pressure.
We're super fans. My parents were like, what's Survivor? I'm like, perfect.
Yes.
There's no expectation.
Far down here. Thank
Far
you.
Down here.
Now, Andy has to get these three together because he has a plan. And you know what? One thing about Andy is that he's focused. The minute he heard, oh, I have nothing on my resume, people don't see me, well, I need a plan. I need something to mark as my own. And he has been on it 2 episodes straight now.
I love it. Him.
So,
it's like really easy to get bogged down of like, in your fields of like, oh, somebody feels this way. Like, oh, my game is tanked. No.
Mm-hmm.
No, I love Andy's approach of like being like, I'm going to do what I've always seen people do is adapt. It's like, that's your perception of me. What do I have to do to change it? Not lying down and dying.
Yes. Yes.
So,
for
absolutely.
Sure. So at this point, Andy's telling Genevieve and Sam, we are going to do Operation Italy. He reveals the Underdog Alliance, which honestly, I think they talked about the 5 before this, so I have a feeling they just knew. And then he says that they should build suspicion that one of them has an idol. He outs Rachel's block vote to Sam and Genevieve. And Sam, which I will say this, I would probably go on a rant just like Teenie, okay? I would be like, I a man hater? I don't know, but this is how I'm feeling right now. But the fact that Teenie's rant includes, well, Sam thinks he's the hero. I think usually if you have a person like Sam, you're thinking that's the kind of confessionals he has. Ironically, in this very episode, he says that Andy's his hero.
Yep. I noticed that too. Crazy.
I love this.
Love the parallel. It's like, yeah, this perception just because, like, perception is just everything. Just going, like, even fast forwarding a little bit to that tribal council. Perception is everything, but, like, Andy's the hero now. Look at that hair.
Look at that hair. Look at that hair. Yeah, I would not be mad at if Sam ends up at the end, and yeah. Obviously he's going to have a harder role to climb because he kind of knows at this point all the things that Andy has done. Hopefully, well, this is like a messed up hopefully. Hopefully he's in the jury so he can argue for Andy. That's what
yes,
Andy is
right?
doing next.
It's true, though.
It's true.
You're not wrong.
All right, let's go to Baca or Becca.
Becca. Like Baca,
we're back
in,
43? Yeah, I don't know. That's not my fault that they keep going to the same
well.
So let's pretend Andy is not in this picture. It's basically these 4. And Teenie is going off, basically saying that Sam wants to be the hero. He picked the one other man when he could have picked any of the other women. I think that's, like, honestly an okay gripe. Like, at this point, we're probably going to have more women than men on the jury.
Yeah. No, yeah. Men. It's just Sierra okay. and the dudes.
Yeah. I guess I'm still looking at everyone else in this picture, and I'm like...
Yeah, no, it's Sierra and the dudes right now.
We can have... Yeah.
And we'll have Caroline there. So it'll be Caroline and then Gabe, Saul, and Kyle.
Yeah, but then when we're looking at the final, you only get three. Yep. And we have one, two, three,
four. Oh, yeah.
Like five.
I'm not a numbers gal.
Left. So it's just the optics aren't great, but also it's like, yeah, you only left two men in the game. So.
And also, not even regardless of gender, they've known each other the longest.
Yes. Yeah, but I think Teeny, I don't know what Sam has been saying to her. I know Genevieve has been working on Teeny's nerve, and I think Teeny's perspective in this whole rant is, I have been seen as, like, the weak one that you're courting, and yet, when it's time to, like, follow through and give me something in exchange, you couldn't even do that. And I think
also, just like fair, and I probably, like, I love Teeny's imitation of Sam. I want to, like, I'm probably going to rewatch that today. Just go, ooh, like, that is also me. I would be petty as hell.
Very petty, very, it's so good. But, like, everyone in this episode is acting on some level. Teeny just decided to do it for the women, give them a show. So now all of them are talking about, hey, right here, this looks like our final four. I would be good going against everyone else. I'm proud of everyone else's game here. I believe them.
Yeah.
That I wanted that. It was interesting. They said their pecking order was going to be like, or at least Teeny's, Sam, Genevieve, then Andy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Oh boy. And then Andy, Sam, and Genevieve return. So Genevieve's making a fake idol. You know.
Oh, I loved it.
Yes.
I needed another person. So I was like on her feet. I was so you've got to move quick. That's really hard. That's an immunity challenge in itself.
Yes.
Like, God, it's really, really hard.
I agree. She's doing that. Andy is telling everyone, oh my God, they just picked me so they can wine and dine me. I just feel like they were whining and dining me. Like, it's the closing of the eyes to really
whining and dining me. Okay, out of my, like, my acting, you know, judgment for last night, Andy was, I mean, Genevieve, great. Sam, chef's kiss. Andy, you gotta work on it.
Andy!
Like, yeah, I just, like, really don't like the way they're just trying to strong-arm me.
I just felt so scared. I felt so scared as I was eating my pasta, guys.
Like, women are intuitive. We know y'all when y'all are lying, mostly. But...
I don't know. I think Andy's still using, though, that perception of him.
Yes.
Because they're like, oh, poor Andy.
They're saying poor Andy, and oh my God, it's so good. Like, what a great way to use the way that people perceive you to your advantage in that game. And crazy. Yes.
Very. And so at this point, we have an immunity challenge. And I said Rachel shouldn't win this. And then I was like, but I kind of want her to.
Yes. I felt like she was going to. Mm-hmm. I felt like she was the top contender to win.
Yeah.
Once I saw it laid out, I was like, it's Rachel's. She's going to win. But also, I was thinking, I'm like, Genevieve kind of has to throw it.
Sam
kind of has to throw it for the plan to work, which is, like, such a crazy thing to think about, to, like, have faith in this plan when you actually could just save yourself, but it just saves you for the night. So having to have that bigger perspective as far as, like, gameplay goes, to be like, I have to throw the immunity challenge in order to make it further so I can break down this five is crazy. It's like, it's a crazy leap of faith.
Gotta go balls to the wall.
I mean, they don't really have any choice.
No, it's so
win immunity today and then get clipped tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Literally.
It's so funny because this season has also been a story about the stories we tell ourselves.
Yes.
Because that five are like, we're the underdogs. And then when When Andy tells them about the Underdog Alliance to Sam and Genevieve, they're like, what? They're like rolling their eyes. Because it's like, we have an uphill battle.
Literally. It's like, oh, we're the underdogs. We have two idols and an advantage. And Rachel keeps on winning immunity. Like, we're super underdogs.
Yeah. And again, this is like the frustrating thing to me, because it's like, why is Teeny seeing Sam as such a big threat? I said this last episode. Sam hasn't done anything in quite a while. He has no connections. He was the one holdout for his shot in the dark because he knew he was down bad. But just because he's like an attractive white man, it's like he's the one we need to take down. And I'm like, we do need to be a little bit more adaptable.
Yeah.
In the game to be like, sure, that's like a perspective, but it would be, I would, if they went to the end and for some reason, because people's biases do come into play and the jury could vote for Sam for one reason or another of like, yeah, he does look that way, therefore he should have never made it that far. You shouldn't have let him, and then make him win. That's one time where I'm like, sure, give the jurors some guff on social media. Maybe just today, though. Don't bully them. But it doesn't make any sense if you just look at the work. So,
look at the data.
Yeah.
But it's so funny because I think this is why I love Survivor in the first place, is it really does just become this like mini society and really a reflection of kind of the climate that we've come from and where we've come from and the world around us. And like, we can see that very clearly here. And like, I mean, I can see myself acting similarly.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest, I'm like, get the dudes out.
Mm-hmm.
Even though like I voted for one in the end, because I was like, how do we even let him get to the end?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
How did nobody write his name down a single time?
Yeah.
So it's like, but it is really interesting that like Survivor Forever, since the beginning, is just like a reflection of like the things happening in our society and how they get played out on the island is just really intriguing. And it just is a social experiment at the end of the day. And so I love looking at it from that lens, and it makes sense, even though there's literally no data that Sam is a threat at all. I think he's actually I think he's the least threatening person actually left in the game, pretty much.
Yeah, he's the person that you could drag to the end and call a goat, but like no one would accept that because he's a tall white man.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. So
even when they're failing, we won't let the perception of them failing fail. This is how deep we are. This is how deep we are into this culture.
I know. I know. I'm like, I have been pretty sassy. I have been sassy about Sam for a long time. The minute he's like looking at that buoy next to Genevieve, and he's like, that's nothing. And Genevieve's like, I think it's something. I'm like, are we still acting like this, man?
I know. I know. Like I said, I haven't cheered for Sam at all until this episode.
Yeah.
Wow.
So,
how did I get here?
I will say, though, Sam did tweet a little thing, and he did say this plan would not work if any of them won immunity, basically saying that they threw it.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. So they're doing a lot of balancing, walking across the beam, holding a ball.
We're getting so bad.
Yeah, it looks fun. It looks like you can do it.
I'm gonna call Hunter and hire him to build it in my backyard for me.
Yeah. Oh, and then the end goal. We have to get this ball into the three holes, three of the five holes on these paddles. And in the end, it was Rachel who won. So, second win for Rachel. Sam claimed he thought about going for it once Rachel was absolutely going to be like the person to win.
Yeah.
But it just means we got to adjust. We're moving that target. Good.
And
for
the target move was great.
Rachel, again, is the luckiest survivor castaway of this new era. I can't think of another person who comes close.
Wait, I actually love that take.
It's true. I've been saying it. Like, she has been lucky at every turn. I went back to your episode of Nerdtainment when you were going through the whole thing, and she's a Pisces sun. Yeah. I forget the other stuff, but I'm like, whatever it is, she is so lucky.
Wow. Because luck does play such a huge role, and I can, like, see it. I don't have that take on my own, but I love that take.
Mm-hmm. And it's very interesting because I don't think we get a lot of Rachel confessionals either. Mm-hmm. So it's all these other people who are very reactionary to her. Yeah. And I just want to know, like, what is Genevieve seeing in her that she's like, I have to get this girl out. She is my competition.
Yeah, I think it's just like the ease in which she's like, you know, coming back from being blindsided a couple times, but the ease in which she's navigating the game.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's why we don't have Rachel talking about it, because it is just so instinctual to her. She's so able to navigate it. Oh, yeah. Really,
yeah.
Really playing a great game.
Very good. Very good. So after that immunity challenge, basically the five are talking. This is where Andy's going real hard of like, I'm just really, really scared of an idol, guys. Meanwhile, Rachel has an idol. Sue has an idol. They don't know that, but and at first Teeny's the first to shut down idol talk every single time of like, what? Genevieve does not have an idol. He's like, I'm just so scared.
Maybe.
Caroline's open to it. She's like, you know what? I'm kind of scared of an idol too. Teeny's like, no. And like, I wonder if it's Teeny, I've been around this woman for quite some time. I feel like I would have had an inkling if Genevieve had an idol. Or it's like, I want Sam out that bad.
I think it's Sam.
Okay. Yeah.
I think it's a little bit of both, but I think it's just like, no, we are getting Sam out. Mm-hmm. And like just wanting to have agency and wanting to like emotionally fueled. I get it too.
So here's where this was the make or break. So basically Teeny walks away. Meanwhile, Sam and Genevieve are looking at this fake idol. Teeny walks up and Teeny is trying to play double agent. Teeny, I think, is trying to be the Andy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somehow, for some reason, it's not working the same way.
Yeah.
So Teeny's like, hey, they're debating between both of you. And basically, Genevieve's like, that's okay. Keep it on me. And Teeny's like, why? What? She said, keep it on me. I love Teeny's expressions.
Me too. But Is this what I think it is?
What do you mean? And she's like, yeah, it's true. So Teeny's like, let me see it. And Sam's like, I gotta go. I gotta keep an eye out. And this is such a great distraction. Like, this is when Sam's a little on it, even though all he did was like, I'm gonna walk away. Genevieve's like, oh, flash, gotta go. And Teeny does what you should always do. Ask, where's that note?
Where's the note?
Now, Genevieve says she burnt it, but then she has it.
No, she buried it.
Oh, buried it.
Buried in the sand, but then that's why she was down by the shore for a long time.
Okay. I can't lie like this. I can't.
I feel like Genevieve is really good at being like, this is the reality and this is what we're doing. And it's like not a lie because I believe it.
Yep.
Like she's just like full.
That's what you have to do.
You have to believe it yourself. Yeah. And then other people will believe it, which we saw here. Like, that idol flash was crazy. It was so quick.
It was.
I would have been sketched.
Yeah.
They probably would have believed it.
But I think there was so much going on because I think also Andy might have been doing something at this point. So,
yeah.
Basically, it's now out there probably that Teeny saw something. Caroline, now this is almost a callback from early on in the season, because remember when the merch happened, Sue was so preoccupied with like washing the idol and everything, and she's like, they're gonna go through my bag, and it's like, So who would have gone through your bag? But this time, now that there's idle talk, Caroline's like the one going through the bag as Sue watches out. Caroline doesn't find anything, but it's like we still got to be careful. And okay, I do want to talk about the Sue and Caroline of it all, because we do have a touching, several touching moments.
Yeah.
But something that I've noticed, maybe Sue has a little Genevieve in her, because I noticed a lot that Sue, that Caroline was talking a lot about their connection and how much it meant, and she was like, maybe she's proud of me like a daughter. We did not cut to Sue saying anything of the sort.
Oh, Sue is also a Gemini.
Oh. You know what? For anyone who's watching and listening, my partner's a Gemini. So, Gemini, I just have to say, Geminis are lovable and kind.
I love them. I love Geminis.
This is
them.
Not the only representation, okay?
No, no. They're complex and diverse.
Yes. Now, a very kind thing is that Sue does say, hey, the minute I feel like something's funky at Tribal, I will play my idol for you. Sadly, Sue does not have great intuition.
I was anticipating a revote.
Can you imagine?
That would have been the greatest Survivor episode. Like, it would have, like... With all the hype, I mean, it was good. Don't get me wrong.
But yeah.
This is the best of the news. Like, da-da-da, all the hype we got. If that is what happened, that's crazy.
Very, very. Oh, my gosh. I wish. But Sue just didn't have that inkling. She thought her girl was safe. So we go to Tribal. Jeff starts talking about the very awkward pick for the letters. I did ask about whether people at Ponderosa got it, because Kyle looked upset.
Oh yeah, I love how they shot to him immediately, because he just missed it.
Yep.
You do get it after, like, I think it's, I don't even know if we get it at, I think we get it at Ponderosa, but not till like maybe the day after it all ends. So,
okay.
Yeah, you don't get it in, it's different. When you need it the most, you know,
yes.
But you're way away from getting it, and that sucks.
For sure. So, yeah, Sam basically talks about the bittersweet part of it. They keep cut to Teeny smirking. Teeny is ready. Teeny's like, let's vote now. Nothing is changing.
But y'all ate, I'm about to eat.
Yes. Yes. Teeny said, there has been a pecking order. Let's go. And Jeff is like, Teeny! What? Yo,
the pecking order.
Just that was savage.
Hanging it out.
Savage.
Confident as hell. Being like, our plan is working. We got the five. Don't even, it's like, you're on Survivor.
You don't know. You don't know. And this is probably like the worst thing that could have happened in front of the jury.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Bad. Really bad. It's like, it's one thing if you didn't say all those things, but it's like when you're at that point, the pressure's on and you're so close to the end, and like, you know, the jury maybe doesn't, it's like, of course you're going to play it up, but like, what a bite in the ass that ended up being.
Yeah.
And like, there's a pecking order and then you get blindsided. It's crazy.
The majority failed the minority. Crazy work. And
the jury must have, they had a good time that night.
I think they did. So Teeny, I mean, as much as Teeny had bravado, Teeny was also looking at the three a lot. And was just trying to read anything. Also, Teeny was making eyes with Andy, which I'm like, I don't know if Teeny's like trusting of Andy or not. This is like so weird, because Andy's also seemed like taken aback by everything that Teeny's saying.
Yeah. It was a difficult, like not a difficult Tribal Council fall, but I was like trying to read into what they were all doing there. And like, maybe we'll get some clarification in the next episode about Tribal, maybe not, whatever, maybe after the season. But yeah, seeing watching them during that, I'm like, what is happening? I'm like, is Andy gonna flip? Does Teeny suspect that Andy's flipping? What's going, like, yeah, it was a lot.
So in the end, we get 2 on Sam, 2 on Genevieve, and 3 on Caroline. Caroline took it on the chin. She said, had a pleasure playing with all of y'all. I think Caroline's big thing was just making sure she stood out on her own as a player. Yeah. And she did that. She lasted multiple votes without Gabe. That was very important to her. And she did great. She was absolutely a threat who needed to be taken out if it wasn't Rachel in this 4.
Totally. I agree. I think she's the next contender. I loved Caroline's just gratitude for the game. It was just so fun truly watching somebody like live out their dream out there. But not in a way of like pushing it or doing too much, because we can see that. But she was just like really, I feel like she played a really smart game, did everything she could. Obviously, we didn't see it all from her perspective, and you know, she was on the biggest edit, whatever. But I think how could you watch the season and not be like, have an endearment towards Caroline? She's such a wonderful person to watch live out their dream and play that game, and she's great at playing the game.
Yeah. And also, she gave us the gif of her reacting to Rome crying about being bullied after he bullied Saul. That was...
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Iconic. I will say, I think most of 47 is full of natural players. There's no one who is like, I have 3D printed puzzles, or I have built all of these obstacles. They're just such natural
players. Or people too far on the other side of like, too far on the other side who are like, don't really know that much about the game. I feel like everyone came into it. Maybe like, a couple super fans, but people with a natural inclination towards gameplay.
Yeah.
Regardless of like fan status or whatever. So yeah, it was really, it's been a great season as far as that goes, as far as the players.
Okay, we usually end every recap with 2 questions. One being the beautiful black moment of the episode. There's no more black people. So this is just what gave us joy.
How did we get here?
It's wild. My beautiful moment of the episode. Oh, there's so many. My beautiful moment is going to still be Sam telling Andy of how grateful, calling Andy his hero. That really touched me.
Yeah, I would echo that as well. That was really sweet. I think my beautiful moment was, let's see. I want to say this probably around the same thing, or just Genevieve, just having this self-reflective moment. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to call out my girl Genevieve. I think it's really beautiful, just like having her like sharing that vulnerability and like knowing that honestly she's probably afraid to like be this vulnerable on TV or be this vulnerable around these people, and like letting herself feel her feelings is just really, really beautiful. Yeah. I'm proud of her.
We love it. And then our other question is, what is the chaotic bi moment of the episode? There's so many. I think I'm going to give it to Teenie once again over Andy. Okay. And just Teenie was on one this time. Teenie was active. Teenie was like, I have a set target, trying to shut down Andy, who's also trying to throw chaos in their chaos. And then they go over to Genevieve, and there's levels to this. I want to give Teenie's rant, though, going back to camp, as the chaotic bi moment of this episode.
Amazing. For the chaotic bi moment, let's play on the other side of the thing here is Andy's acting.
Mm-hmm.
Just like really the facial expressions, the everything, the commitment to it. So Andy in Operation Italy, like iconic vibe moment. Also second up to Teenie talking to Genevieve on the beach.
Oh my god. That whole moment, I was like, what is going on here?
Wild. But yeah, we had some good bye moments this week. I'm here for it.
Yes, we did. All right. So at this point, we're going to get into our plugs. But before that, Kendra, I have a question for you.
Ooh.
Because I know you're an astrologer girly, yes. Tarot girly.
Sure am.
I was gifted this deck. Yeah. And
awesome.
I took a class at our local place called The Chattery on tarot. Nice. I've been pulling my own cards and it's Yay. Been great. But there's one card that keeps following me. And it's not a bad card. But every time I see it, I'm just like, okay. The card is the Queen of Pentacles.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah. Usually when I'm going through a lot of change with work, and so almost every time I'm asking about my anxiety around work, what's the right path forward, she starts showing up. And I guess, how do I start embracing this more? Or what should I take? I feel like I just keep taking the same thing, and then I'm like, maybe I'm missing something.
No, totally. What are your feelings around the Queen of Pentacles? Do you get, like, really excited to see it, or you kind of just, like, do you feel like you like to embody this energy often? Is it more of, like, an answer for you, like, as far as, like, your work goes, or is it kind of, like, what's the relationship with the card for you, besides that you're kind of pulling it a lot?
Exactly. So, I think at first it was a good thing. Queen of Pentacles, upright, according to my book, is that you or someone around you have created a sustainable work-life balance. You are able to care for yourself and others, perhaps even taking on the mentorship role. I actually don't feel like I have a great work-life balance at all.
Okay.
And I think for me personally, I focus more on the mentorship role because I think my brain loves to find
Libra.
This is a task we have to do now.
Absolutely.
Then it feels like an overwhelming card.
Yeah. So my take with the Queen of Pentacles, especially you are a Venusian ruled sign as a Libra, and Venus has to do with our money. Venus has to do with the beauty that we surround ourselves by. It also has to do with our diplomacy. But in addition to that, it has to do with our values. And so you kind of reflecting to me that you feel like you don't have a good work-life balance is like the Queen of Pentacles is here not to remind you maybe of like the mundane day-to-day tasks or work in itself, but where your energy is related to your values or how your values are working out in these aspects of your lives. Because, you know, where we put our money is a direct correlation to what we value, how we receive our money, how we receive our goods, our resources. That's another thing I like to think about with the Pentacles, especially the Queen and Pentacles, really embodying my values in a way that creates a beautiful life for me. So I think it can really look like a reflection. And sometimes what I'll do, especially if I'm getting that that stalker card, is I'll put it up on like somewhere to look at every day. And I don't know if you're into crystal work, but using crystals a lot like that embody this Queen of Pentacles energy, and like emerald is a really good one, or like, I mean, clear quartz for everything. Jade would be great. Tiger's eye for like motivating you to make sure you're aligned with your values in your work life balance, and the way you spend, receive money, all that stuff. And then also just taking some time, like Pentacles likes to move slow. Pentacles likes to embody, enjoy. I get a lot of Empress energy tied in with Queen of Pentacles. Like Empress is like the higher up Queen of Pentacles, but also another thing to do is pulling a clarification card every time it comes up. So
I did that today.
Awesome. Yeah. Having a Queen of Pentacles. Okay. What information are you giving me now? And then kind of creating, like seeing where the story, oh, we got the Sun. Okay. So embodiment and self.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's going to help you be a naked baby riding on a horse better? Like, what is going to help you embody this joy and this light? That, because you are somebody who wants to put your light outwards. You want to shine. You don't want to burn out. That's another thing with the the sun card is like all this fire, all this embodiment, all this life force energy, burn out. So where is this balance that is ingrained in my values, and how am I living that out for full self-expression is kind of what I would say with those two cards.
That's amazing. Thank you.
So much. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's, I could talk about this shit forever.
Well, Kendra, for people who want their own reading during this time, where should people follow you and contact you for that?
Absolutely. So I am at Happy to Be Here. It's happytobehere.com. I'm also at _KendraRuthless on Instagram. You can find me there. Then I link in bio to my website, and I have a plethora of options in for readings. I'm doing astrocartography, which I'm obsessed with, finding the best places around the world to embody yourself or bring in whatever you want into your life. But I also want to plug a friend. I'm going to plug Gary DeAndre. He is a queer Black tarot reader, and I know that this is a Black bi reality, and I always want to highlight my friends of color who are in the same field as me, especially knowing that I am a white woman. And so sometimes I don't have the right answers for people of color as far as, you know, the tarot goes, or, you know, explaining life situations through astrology and tarot. So I always like to offer somebody with a different perspective and highlight my friends in this. And yeah, so that's, and he's at Gary DeAndre. He's amazing. He actually came out with a queer tarot.
Okay, his what's own, the name of it?
It's called Tarot for You and Me, and it's a queer tarot guide and tarot cards, and it's amazing. And so go get that if you're looking for your diversity and your queer guide to tarot. He's amazing. So I just wanted to plug him as well.
Thank you for doing that.
Yeah.
And guys, I'm your host, Nicole Weaver, Black Bi Reality. Please follow Black Bi Reality across all socials. We'll be back. We're only going to release one episode next week, even though we have two episode finale. So please come back to stay tuned for that and whatever our guest is going to be. And then we'll have a little tiny break for the holiday, and we'll be back to cover The Traitors season 3.
I'm so excited. I can't even handle it.
I know. It's going to be so good. So good. You're welcome to come back for that if you'd like.
I'm going to be watching it every week. I can't wait. I love it. Yes.
So good. Other than that, guys, I hope you stay visible and feel visible today. Bye.
Oh, I love that. Bye. Thank you. Okay.